welcome back to Mining Stock Daily. This is Trevor Hall, and I'm sitting here with Gary Thompson, the CEO of Brixton Metals. Brixton trades on the Toronto Venture Exchange with the symbol BBB and also on the OTCQB markets in the U.S. with the symbol BBBXF. This is a new corporate update with Brixton Metals, as they are a sponsor of MiningStockDaily.com. Gary, it's nice to chat with you once again. We've got a lot to catch up with, because the last time you and I chatted was just after the big hole at Thorn, about 800 meters, really good number. So give us an update of what the company's been doing since then, plus the financing.
Trevor, good to see you again. We've been obviously very busy since the results came out on the Thorn drilling. We basically hit the street. We raised $7.8 million and attracted legendary investor Mr. Eric Sprott, now is just under 20% shareholder of Brixton. So we've got crews busy on site. I think we're somewhere between 30 and soon to be 40 people on site here. We're doing some deep-seeing geophysics, IP and MT. So we hope to get some imaging down to 800 or 1,000 meters, which we don't have on this Camp Creek target where we drilled the big hole. So that's going to help vector some of the drilling that we're going to be doing. So we have two drills turning on site. We're drilling basically two of the large scale porphyry copper gold targets that we have. One is called the Chivas target, and one is called the Camp Creek target.
So where are we at in the process? The drills are going now. When can investors kind of expect assay results for those?
Yeah, so drills have been turning for a while. I think we've got, four or five holes behind us. And so I'm told the next couple, 3 weeks, we should be starting to get the initial results coming out. Excuse me. And we did complete and announced that we finished the work on our Atlin Goldfields project, which is up in northern BC as well. It's about 120 kilometers from the Thorn project. So the camp is basically just on care and maintenance at the moment. And so we do have results on that pending as well. And I'm hoping the next week or two we'll have those results out. And then it should be a pretty good steady flow of news once the flow starts happening here.
I wanted to ask you about Thorn before we move on to Atlin, because I know that for you to go in and put a 1,000-meter drill hole in and kind of putting all your eggs in one basket, like, you had to have really good confidence that that was going to produce. Can you tell me what your mindset was making that decision, and then kind of what was going in through your mind during the process of the drilling?
Well, it was a little bit nerve-wracking, because if you look back, prior to this, we had a $2 million budget for 2019, and when we started the year, the push for us was really in Atlin, and we kept thinking about, well, what could we do at Thorn, because it is logistically fairly close to Atlin. So we kept thinking, what could we do that would have some sort of impact on the project. So we looked through the data again, and we said, well, we haven't really tested the copper part of the system. So we took a bit of a review of the copper results. And so we had done some drilling in around this area in the Camp Creek previously. And if you look at the geochem results, there's some pretty impressive copper numbers at surface on these high sulfidation veins. We're getting, 5, 10, 20% copper. Hasn't really been explained. So we thought, okay, well, show me all the copper numbers on this zone where we had done most of the drilling, was on this Oban zone where we drilled the big hole. So when we plotted it up, there was a pretty clear vector that suggests, if you keep going down this direction, we're getting more copper. So I think the deepest vertical depth that we had mineralization to was about 370 meters. Historically. So we thought, well, it looks like it's kind of vectoring down. So that's what drove us to basically drill this this deep hole, really chasing copper. And the other idea we had was that there's a deposit in the Philippines called Far Southeast, and it's a very rich copper gold system. I think it's about 43 million ounces of gold equivalent from the last report that I've seen. And it was similar in that they had this diatreme breccia, which again looks like this O-band zone that we drilled. I'm still not exactly sure how they went from the diatreme and to finding this the porphyry that they have there. But there was enough similarities there that suggest, well, maybe we take a shot down this diatreme and see if that can lead us into the porphyry. Now, what was interesting about that is that the previous drilling, we did see some porphyry fragments in the diatreme, but they weren't mineralized. And the deeper hole, there's a section, a couple hundred meter section, starting at about 400 meters, that we're seeing these mineralized porphyry fragments within the diatreme. So we're pretty confident there's a porphyry there somewhere. And that's, you know, the work that we're doing now, and that hopefully the geophysics will light up some targets for us that will actually allow us to really properly test this porphyry that, you know, that we're, you know, excited to see if it's there.
So how much of your time is being prioritized on Atlan now?
Well, it's really parked right now. We're waiting for those results to come out and digest the work that we did. I think we drilled 22 holes, pretty short, shallow scout drilling, really, for the most part. We're just following up on some soils and historical trenching results in Atlan. We didn't want to go and just reproduce some of the very high grade at the Yellow Jacket site, which everybody knows about. We wanted to come up with something new, so we thought we'll just go in there and do some scout drilling to see what we could come up with. So we're going to digest that data. We've got a lot of soil data as well that we didn't collect as much soils as we wanted. We were looking for something like 5,000 soils. I think we got over 1,000. But our direction shifted a little bit after that big thorn drill result. So Atlan, we're still thinking that through, and we'll decide at some point. There's a possibility we could do some work there throughout the winter. There's some low elevation targets that we could potentially drill. So we're not sure about Atlan, and we're gonna maybe take a step back and have a look at that later. But right now, I can tell you that with that many people in 30, 40 people in camp, it's basically all hands on deck to get that program done.
And you're one of the few junior companies that have multiple assets. I mean, we just talked about two. You still have two others, one in Montana, another one in Ontario. Ontario, right?
Yes, Ontario. Yeah. That's correct.
And so what's your thoughts on those two? I mean, is there leverage there to maybe sell those projects and continue to fund programs at Atlan and Thorn into next year? I'm sure shareholders would really like to know what's going on with those projects.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we see those as, you know, optionality. And part of the strategy for us was to diversify jurisdictional and projects, because you never know these things if they're going to pan out, if you're going to, you know, make it to a mine or anything along the way. So that was the rationale to get them so that we could drill off season in, you know, northern BC. You're in the summertime, and then what do you do in the winter? So that was the rationale for the Ontario asset. The one, you know, interesting thing is that the Ontario Langus and Hudson Bay, those are past producing very high grade silver, and the Hog Heaven project in Montana has also a very silver rich. So while, you know, the last few years haven't been great for silver, or certainly silver's, I think, turned the corner as well and starting to move higher. So I think there's some optionality there for Brixton shareholders on those assets. We don't believe they're getting much attention now. But, we're looking. We've got a number of people in the data rooms. We are looking for potential partners or, you know, potential sale of one of these things. In fact, any one of these projects, I think, would warrant a potential partner to come in. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're looking to unlock shareholder value and generate shareholder value, however that presents itself. You're right, we do have a lot of projects. You know, for a group of 10 or 12 people in the company, we can't work them all. So we're going to have to pick our battles on it. But right now it's thorn focused, and we'll see how this season drill results pans out for us. And that will really determine, what we do next, and kind of take it a step at a time, I think, and see if we can generate some interest as silver moves higher. You know, maybe we get back up to Langus, and you know, it's pretty low cost drilling out there. We can drill all winter if we wanted to. So that's an idea as well, is maybe we could generate some nice silver numbers over the winter. But right now we're just focused on Thorn and getting through that drill program.
Thanks, Gary. It's nice to catch up with you once again, and I'm sure we'll be seeing a bunch of news out here in the next few months with drill assays coming back. Enjoy your time here in Beaver Creek, and I'll catch up with you again later in the month.
Yeah, very good. Well, thanks a lot, Trevor. It's good seeing you again.
That's Gary Thompson. He is the CEO of Brixton Metals, which is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange with the symbol BBB and on the OTC markets in the U.S. with BBBXF. And welcome back to the Beaver Creek Precious Metal Summit. This is Trevor Hall with Mining Stock Daily. I am sitting here with Paul Cronin. He's the CEO and Managing Director of Adriatic Metals. Adriatic Metals is traded on the Australian Stock Exchange with ADT. And just so has it, he is probably the only company I'm going to be speaking with that's solely traded on the Australian Stock Exchange. You do have a Frankfurt ticker symbol as well. But Paul, nice to meet you and welcome to Beaver Creek.
Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate it.
So for people who are unfamiliar, and I think there's going to be a number of people who are listening that know of Adriatic, but maybe aren't necessarily familiar because you do not have a Canadian or U.S. listing, but give us the kind of overview of the project and what you're trying to accomplish there.
Okay. Look, Adriatic was incorporated in 2017 to specifically buy a mining concession in Bosnia and Herzegovina. This was a previously operating mine and some brownfield exploration that had been done before the Bosnian War, but nothing had been done on it since. We moved in there in April 17, we did some confirmation drilling, we started doing some expansion drilling, and we started to hit some really thick high-grade intercepts. Our first drill hole up there was 64 metres at 34% zinc, one of the highest grade intercepts we've ever seen. We had enough budget, being a private company at that point, to continue doing a little bit more confirmation drilling, and then we took the company public in May 2018. We raised $10 million, and we've since then been continuing our exploration. We've recently just defined a 9.5 million ton resource, grading on a zinc equivalent basis of about 17% and a gold equivalent basis of about 11 grams a ton. Particularly high grade, nice and easy to mine in a fantastic jurisdiction with great infrastructure, great people. And at the moment, we're really sort of pushing ahead now with continuing our exploration. We've still got five drill rigs turning on the project. We're hitting new mineralization to the north, to the south, to the west. We're drilling on a new zone of mineralization called Jurassic Brestic at the moment. Jurassic Brestic has had some historical exploration done on it, and we found some really high-grade waste rocks that were thrown out of those old adits by the Yugoslavs. We know that high-grade mineralization is there, so at the moment we're drilling that. We're trying to really turn this into, you know, a tier one asset, which is what we believe that it is and what we can bring it into production as. To that end, you know, we're doing a lot of work on our scoping study at the moment, looking at mining techniques, transportation routes. We think that, you know, when that comes out in mid-October or to the end of October, it's going to demonstrate some pretty substantial economics on the project.
And a scoping study is similar to a pre-feasibility study?
It's similar to a PEA. However, in this case, we've actually done a lot more detailed work in terms of geotechnics, in terms of hydrogeological. Most of our resource is indicated, so we're not reusing a lot of inferred resource in our studies. It's probably most comparable to a PEA, but there is some overlap with a PFS.
Can you talk to me about operating in Eastern Europe? Because there seems to be a lot of eyes in the last couple of years, specifically in like the Timok area. And, you know, working in Bosnia, is it more or less challenging than, say, in Bulgaria and some of those other countries?
Yeah, I mean, Serbia is a jurisdiction where there are a lot of Canadian companies doing exploration. The Serbian government altered their mining code to reflect a more Western mining code about 10 or 15 years ago. And since then, they've seen a flood of big companies coming in, you know, Nevsun, Rio Tinto, and many others, and now Zijin. Bosnia hasn't made those changes. In fact, Bosnia's got a peculiar method for getting exploration licenses, and it requires you to, in short, pay about $1 million per square kilometre up front. And as a result, Bosnia has had no junior exploration companies trawling that ground. We got in there because we had specific information that gave us the ability to target a small concession, pay that upfront fee, which cost us, you know, in total about $2 million. But it's been paying off for us. So Bosnia is quite unique. To go from once you, you know, get started, once you're exploring, the mining code is really clear. The pathway through to production is very, very clear. Nice and simple, you know what you've got to do. The Bosnian government help you and hold your hand all the way. It's been an absolutely fantastic jurisdiction to work in, far better than I've ever worked in before.
I mean, I know a lot of people who would just would probably listen to what you just said and like, well, it sounds like extortion a little bit up front.
No, it's not like that at all. Basically, it's a fee to say, well, if you want to do exploration, this is what you've got to pay. There's no back-end royalty or a very small royalty. So it's just, you know, in Australia or Canada, we can go in and we can take an exploration license for a nominal upfront fee, but we pay a huge royalty at the back end. A big royalty. In Bosnia, you don't pay that royalty. So they front end the money. The reason they do that is this is the poorest country in Europe. They're wanting cash. They're wanting cash to do infrastructure, to build schools, to build hospitals. You know, it's a country where it's got the lowest power prices in Europe. It's got the lowest wages in Europe. It's a fantastic jurisdiction. And they don't charge you any customs duties for capital imports or anything else. It's a very low tax rate for companies. But all they say is if you want to come in here and you want to do this, you've got to pay their fees. Now, we're having some discussions with the Bosnian government about maybe reversing that, changing, taking a royalty on the back end and lowering the upfront fee to give us a bigger area, which we are actively working on that now and we're making a lot of progress there. You know, with respect to the way they operate things, is they want to know that companies that come in are serious. So if you're paying up front, they know that we're going to go in there and we're going to do that exploration and we're going to get it done and we're going to build a mine. And that's what the Bosnian government wants. That's what we're giving them.
I'm sure one of the challenges that you've been facing the last couple of months is literally just the zinc price and all the base metals all around. Can you give us a little bit of analysis from an explorer and developer on where we're at with zinc and if there's light at the ahead of the tunnel and how much of this is really focused on the trade talks between the U.S. and China?
Look, at Adriatic Metals, we're polymetallic. I don't think, you know, a lot of people think of us as a zinc company. The reality is our biggest revenue line comes from silver. So whilst we have a mix of base and precious metals, 50% of our revenue will come from precious. 50% will come from base. Look, I think zinc prices will probably recover, but I don't get too concerned about it. At the moment, zinc prices are a bit soft, so are copper prices, so are lead prices, but gold and silver are doing pretty well. For us, it kind of balances it out. So, you know, we've got the ability to be slightly counter-cyclical. If we see, you know, at a macro level, trade wars having issues that affects base metal prices, we know that it will have a positive impact on precious metal prices. So for us, our revenue line is always pretty consistent.
How has the share price performed in the last 6 months with the precious metals and the base metal component?
Yeah, look, it's been probably a little bit flat, to be honest with you. We IPO'd at 20 cents in May last year. The share price has performed well since that. It's up now over five times. It's peaked at about $1.23. I think for us, our share price is probably more affected around our drilling results than anything else. We are drilling with five rigs at the moment. We'll be putting out a lot of drilling results between now and the end of the year. We've got some really interesting things that we've been looking at. But I think, you know, we've also got those sort of pre-development re-rating milestones, such as the scoping study and putting some economics on it, getting our exploitation permit. We're confident that will be granted this year. Hopefully, maybe a bigger concession area with a much smaller upfront fee will come, you know, in the next few months as well. So, the share price is a dollar. It's been as high as $1.25. You know, I think it'll recover again. I think this company's got a fantastic future. It's a phenomenal asset, and we've got first mover advantage in a jurisdiction which I think most of the major mining companies in the world would love to have, but don't.
How about the benefit of being traded on the Australian Stock Exchange? I know it's really outperformed most exchanges as far as mining and explorers go in the last year or so. I know that that's have to have been some sort of benefit for you, correct?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're a British company. We will at one point in the future list on the London Stock Exchange. But the ASX is a great nurturing market. It takes assets like ours that were relatively underexplored, where we needed to raise capital for exploration. And, you know, we found that very easily. We raised $10 million on IPO, on a massively oversubscribed raising. We were then able to raise another $10 million at 55 cents. So all of our shareholders who've come into our placements on the ASX have always more than doubled their money. And we intend to continue that as long as we can.
And how many shares outstanding do you have in place right now?
We've got 151 million shares outstanding and about 18 million options.
And have you done any financing since that original 10 million?
Yeah, we did the 10 million at 20 cents on the IPO, and then we've done a subsequent financing in November last year at 55 cents.
Okay. And so how much money do you have in the bank currently?
At the moment, we've at June 30, we had 10 million. I think by the end of September, we'll be 7 point something.
Okay. And you'll be drilling throughout the winter, or are you taking a break?
No, we're going to take a 2 week break over Christmas and New Year, because Some of our staff are Christian and are Catholic, and some of them are Orthodox. But we'll be back in, we're drilling, we're going to particularly focus, this winter is going to be an area called Orty. We haven't talked a lot about Orty in any of our releases, but we've recently found some historical drill core and we like what we saw, so we're going to be getting there and doing a lot of drilling on Orty, which is, you know, it's only 100 metres away from the existing Via Vacha pit wall.
Can you share some of the results from the historical drill core?
Not at this stage. Not at this stage. We are doing some pretty extensive soil sampling on it at the moment. the problem with sort of announcing those results is you can never be 100% certain about where that core came from when you basically find it in a shed. So it's got some markings on it which indicate where it came from, but we've got to do confirmation drilling on that.
It's a pretty big hunt to find those, huh?
We're having the information that we've got is largely, we stumbled upon it. When we bought Via Vacha, we bought the land and the buildings. And in the building, we found about 1,500 typed reports covered in bird droppings and snow damaged. But it detailed all of the exploration that has been done in this part of Yugoslavia between 1960 and 1990. And it is an absolute treasure trove. I mean, we could be working on this for another 5 years of just finding new targets to drill out. You know, at the moment, we've been focusing on Rupitsa. We're now focusing on Rupitsa West. We're focusing on Jurassic Brestic. We'll soon be getting into Orty. We see this as being quite a prolific mineral district, and we want to have as much of it as we possibly can.
Paul, what else did I forget to ask you that you wanted to share?
Oh, look, I think, that's kind of it from us. We've put together a good team. We're training people in country. We've got an excellent community relations team, and strong government support. It couldn't be better for us, quite frankly.
Thank you so much. That is Paul Cronin. He's the CEO of Adriatic Metals, which is traded on the Australian Stock Exchange with the symbol ADT. Paul, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week here in Beaver Creek.
Thanks, Trevor.
Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein.